hoping that one of two more people will go. I mean, I don't see them anymore. I suggest that we start. Good morning. I hope you are full. This is as the new thing. And then Wamita Shulubani, Miss TLP, as a full member. Sislare LJ is not here. And Sonto as full members. And then it, of course, talks about discharging two members. Lehoro MMS, that's Mpo.
Oh, it's long gone.
It's only now being officialized. And Mashiani Lolo, who's in Scopa, you know that. So that's the latest as this, what is this thing called? Announcements, tablings, and committee reports as of the 5th of Tuesday. The 5th Tuesday this month, August. So who SP Holomis Chief? You must go and update your list of people you send notices to. You must send notices to the correct members and the alternates and others who used to get lists. Just let them know that they shouldn't bother to expect notices. We thank them profusely for having been part of us. We have no role in who becomes members or not. Yeah. But they are welcome to join us anytime, as we always welcome members. Having dealt with that, this morning we agreed that we would get to hear the party caucuses to let us know, just to take us through so that we can give the department to go and produce a copy that we'll vote on when we next meet next week. So just to get to hear you on discussions you've held on this thing. As a completely non-partisan chairperson, so why do you laugh as if you think I'm not non-partisan? I can hear that cynical laughter from you, Mem Dalose. You don't seem to believe me that I'm non-partisan. I'm above party political views. Domen, can you hear me?
I'll be back on our believe
you. I thought I had unquestionable credentials about being non-partisan. Okay. We will start with the National House of Traditional Leaders Bill, as we have been doing. So, in that order, I assume, because Nkosinongwanyana, that you are the one who will lead us on this one, on the ANC side. And then we'll ask Domen and Mem Dalose just to indicate whether they agree. Mem Dalose, welcome. You've got the document there before you. I hope. Whichever ones you need, please indicate if you have the department's comments on the bills and the others as well. Shall we start? Okay.
Yeah. Comrade Chair and honorable members and the Bishop of the Department and the gentlemen that are here. Thank you very much, Chair. Yeah, just for record, to the court that indeed they had the caucus yesterday. And I will attempt to actually reflect the party position on the bill. Of course, on the overall intention of the bill is supported by the African National Congress. And then we deal with the long title. The comments there, I will sort of reflect our position from the comments, whether we agree or there's any proposed amendment there. On the long title, which is to provide, of course, for the National House, et cetera, to determine powers, functions, duties, and responsibilities of the House, et cetera. There have been some comments, and I think from the summary from the department, there was a suggestion then that the long title must include, of course, the provision to provide for the repeal of National House of Traditional Leaders Act number 10 of 1997 as amended. And our position, of course, without saying it should not be provided there, but the issue of a preamble to set out the history, as you suggested yesterday, may be a good thing. We would propose that the department should draft sort of that preamble, whereas now, therefore, I think you understand what I'm saying there. Before you deal with the preamble as such, which will capture, of course, the history that the ANC government for the first time in 1977 did establish in this country, the National House of Traditional Leaders. And secondly, and then on the question of the long title itself, there has been a suggestion that there's a need to amend the long title to delete the word powers. And based on the contralesa submission, when it actually indicated that in the content of the bill, there was a role and functions, whereas in the long title, there has been a reference to powers. Our view is that we must retain powers because the House of Traditional Leaders must have, like any other statutory body, have its powers, but within its powers as provided for in the Constitution, in line with the Constitution of our country. Then on the question of the definitions, we then agree with the amendment proposed by the Department, and especially all of them, we have really no further comments to make in that regard. The second one, the question of the establishment of the House of Traditional Leaders, Clause 2 of the bill. the draft bill did indicate that the issue of alignment with the sphere of government, there has been some opposition from inputs that it should not be aligned, and the department proposed that it should amend to include that the term of the office of the House should not be aligned with any term of office of any sphere of government. Our view is that just clause 2 should actually read the term of the House of Traditional Leaders is 5 years full stop, and no reference to any alignment or otherwise. And clause 3 on the composition of the House. There are two issues. There are some issues here. I think the first one was the exclusion of the headman, the junior rank of traditional leadership in the House, and the submission from traditional leaders themselves that we should not discriminate. And I think the department has taken a sort of a compromise position, if I may put it that way. They propose a formulation that the membership of the House is restricted to senior traditional leaders, provided that were on good ground shown or due to insufficient number of senior traditional leaders in a province, the province may elect any member. In principle, we agree with the department of that compromise, but we feel that it must be formulated at that proviso, provided that any other traditional leaders, you find a formulation, but a politician who said, well, the proviso, but that said, when good ground shown, may say full stop there, and not be flowery, any other thing, but to clearly indicate that we are not going to specifically expressly provide for now that headman should be excluded. But our view is that, of course, it must be predominant senior traditional leadership. That must be there. But for now, please, we allow that exception. If any refined formulation would be welcome in that regard. But Chair, I think the ANC did actually also indicate that there is a submission that the department did not actually reflect on. That is the from Gauteng. I was tasked then to read it through. I did read it, committee chair. The House then has brought to our attention as Parliament, if I may summarize, Chair, that in House then we've got two senior traditional leaders. As of now, we don't have a House. But the feeling of the House then government is that they must be members of the National House, those two. And whilst I was pondering on that, I think the ANC will have no problem with that. But as I was pondering on that, it dawned in my mind that the Northern Cape, again, is similar. Because after the realignment, certain traditional leaders from Northwest are now part of the Northern Cape. Perhaps the department can come back on us on that with a sort of a reformulation so that the principle that we agree is that they must be represented at the National House as well. The position that we have not yet taken is whether all two must be taken or any other number must go there. Of course, that is having an implication on the number of the House, because originally, conceptually, we said each House must be from each province 3, 3, 3, 3. So that will have an effect. We would like the department to apply its mind and on that matter and actually advise the committee where stands. But the principle we have is, of course, if there are traditional leaders in each and every province that have got traditional councils, I think in line with the spirit of the constitution as well as the law, there must be participation. Clause 4, Chair. Is dealing with the question of the election of the members of the House. Well, the department, there was sort of some quiet from the National House in Mpumalanga about the chairpersonship of the Provincial House for on elections, and the President, of course, on the elections at National. We did consider that. I think I think that the president or any body assigned by him or her to preside on election is an appropriate one, which may of course include the minister responsible for traditional affairs. And in the light of a possibility of having a new ministry or a new department or similar department, we feel that it should be the president who should preside, or anybody, a minister that is designed by him or her, depending on what is going to unfold as we proceed. I may indicate that at this point we did indicate that revisitation or reformulation of the white paper on traditional leadership and on all those issues, the department must actually expedite that so that there's clarity on it. But as regards the formulation as it stands, we don't have a problem. The premier, for instance, must have a role at the provincial level, the president at the national or the responsible minister. That is acceptable. Then clause 5, the qualification of members agreed to. We agree, there's no comment. I think that is fine. Vacation of seats is not contentious at all. We agree with the department that there's no need for amendment. Clause 7. Clause 7, where the vacancy occurs in the House, and the minister must, within 14 days, deal with that. Of course, it is a responsible minister designated by the president, so we don't have a problem with that, because that would be a line minister. And so we agree with clause 7, and there's no need for any amendment. Question of sit, which is clause 8, we feel that there are some issues that we identified here. The question is the question of actually the sit, in other words, the perception that the house is an appendage of a department, because it's in the same building as that. And of course, the request of the house for many years to have its seat next to the parliament. And that this matter, we need to engage, of course, the Speaker of Parliament, and of course, it is one of the matters that actually await for refining of the new policy, which has got an effect of a paradigm shift of some kind. That is one other thing. The other one, the question of the staff. Of course, that again, for now, we agree that the Secretary of the House should be accounted to the department, as we try to reformulate a separate Department of Traditional Leaders and a new policy that may actually dictate what needs to be done. In other words, we are not rejected the submission of traditional leaders of independent in a way to be accountable to the Auditor General, but we feel that at this stage there's no basis for us to agree that we must set that in the bill until these things are clear later on. Then on clause 8 subsection 7 the issue of consensus prof and sufficient consensus or otherwise we did actually apply our mind to it, and our view is that that clause must be amended along the line to read this way, but the lawyers will fine tune this. It says that the decision of the House must be taken by consensus, failing which two-third majority of members present. We feel that that will be clear. We say consensus, by consensus we mean 100%, and then but failing which two-third majority. We think that is clear.
Of
members present. That is on clause 8. Okay.
Yeah.
Quorum were fine. It's 50 plus 1. And the principle of loaded majority is acceptable. Mm-hmm. Traditionally, of course, traditional data is a good thing if they all agree. But if you can't agree, two-third majority.
I noticed that Shabi is not here. Lit, you know why? No. And the presidency.
The president.
Okay. You see, you are the one who introduced my PA. Now they also talk to you, the presidents also talk to you, and they don't talk to me. I must understand what exactly is your role in this institution, because now I've been missing them here. I thought that we would ask them whether they have any views around this issue. But it's okay if they are not able to come. That's fine. Maybe they have delegated to you guys.
So deal with them too.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Yeah. Clause 9. Clause 9, the question of the chairperson and deputy chairperson of the House, the manner of being elected, and some traditional leaders were of the view that no politician should actually preside over this and any other thing, but as I indicated earlier on, our view is that it is acceptable that the Premier at the provincial level and the President at a national level should preside for the election of those officials. And but in this respect, we then proposing a slight amendment on clause 9-10. So that it is, you understand why we are proposing this amendment. 9.1, you find that it provides that at its first meeting, after it has been convened in terms of the Act, the House with the President or any person designated by the President presiding must elect one of its members to be the chairperson and must thereafter elect another of its members to be the deputy chairperson. But when you read clause 10, if the office of the chairperson becomes vacant, the minister now, you find that there's no role of the president. Our view is that the president, yes, or a person designated by him or her, or by the president, so that it is in line with that 9.1, must preside over the election of the member of the House. We find that it is the same as the minister. So we feel that if then it is fine tuned in that fashion, it will be fine. And we have noted, of course, with interest clause 9.13, that the chairperson and deputy chairperson, the term is two terms. We accept that. Okay. Clause 10. Clause 10 is about the whole issue of members being full-time, some being part-time, who must determine that. And you could see that, of course, the department correctly pointed out that even traditional leaders themselves seem not unanimous around this issue. But our view is that the president, I think, is one of the contentious issues that we need to apply our mind. And that it is also the one issue that must reflect so that there is further consultation as we try to review the policy framework towards the creation of a new department. Therefore, at this stage, we feel that it will not be advisable that we must legislate on. We agree with the department. And therefore, that the formulation as it is there, that the president, after consultation with the House, is an appropriate one. So the draft, the clause 10 as originally drafted is supported by us. Yeah. And then on the clause 11, clause 11.
Sorry, Chair.
Oh, yeah.
Just for clarity purposes, Chair, there's the original clause. In clause 10, and there's a redraft that we presented yesterday. Is the ANC supporting the redraft or the original?
Where is
that? There was a separate document that we presented yesterday. If I may just read it quickly. Clause 10. On the redraft.
Yeah.
With the redraft. First of all,
The issue here, which is the question of the jurisdiction, the which we already touched earlier on about the jurisdiction, person by appointing its own staff and determining its own condition of service, under letter form and submission, and it relates to the issue of the autonomy, and which is currently being reviewed by the department. And for the reasons that we have already set up before, that at this stage we are happy that this matter is receiving attention of the department, and it must await until clarity on this issue after further consultation. And for that reason, at this stage, I think the formulation that is there is acceptable. Clause 13, that is the responsibilities of the house. It's agreed to without any further amendment. And it looked like there was no comment either. Clause 14, relation between the house and the kings and queens. We feel that we must mull over it, this issue. But again, the issue in principle is agreed to, is acceptable, that the house must on a hold meeting with kings and queens in the country to discuss certain other matters. But the mulling over it, in other words, that we need also to think about this broadly, it is in relation to this forum of the kings as well as the king's councils or queen's councils that we're going to deal with in the amendment of the framework. So that we need to sort of understand their roles there. Although the caucus appreciate that at this stage it's not a structure, it is at an individual, at a national level, but there is a structure there at a provincial level or local level. But we'll deal with that later on. But in principle, I think the draft is formulated, we don't have a problem. That's the point we are making. It's just that the question of flagging is just that to, whenever we discuss the thing, we must also see the implications thereof. Well, the relationship between the house and provincial houses, we agree. I think to have this chairperson's forum that may be formed, we think that we are really sensitive. That is a concurrent matter. May in this context may be understood to be must, because that we would like at least this forum to work, so that it's a chairperson. But I think the formulation is the correct one. It's sensitive about the constitutional provisions. That is a concurrent power. We cannot prescribe, but we see, therefore, the chairperson like sort of min make of a kind, you know. And then the secretary is like, of course, secretarial min make, technical min make, I mean, we put it that way, which is fine. And perhaps sort of an IGR structure that we're trying to put in place. That is on that basis. We feel comfortable with that clause. Support of the House, of course, the President of the ANC says traditional leadership must be supported, and we agree. I think without any further ado, we support that clause. 17, accountability. Everybody in this country, including the President, must be accountable in accordance with the dictates of our democracy. And the institution of traditional leadership is and shall not be an exception. And for that reason, Clause 17 is supported. 18 privileges and immunities of the members of the House. You'll notice that from the comments, some members of the House must have accorded the same privileges and immunities as that of the NCOP or National Parliament, and that was Mpumalanga, the National House. And the view of the department that it is not a legislative body, and that clause 18 should take out the word by law at the end. That is what the department was saying. Our view is that whilst we appreciate what the department is saying, but there is sort of a quasi-legislative role in the sense that there will be debate during their sitting. And the feeling of the ANC is that whilst they are in the chamber debating, they must be free. In other words, they're immune, like all members of parliament, in that sense. And therefore, a formulation in that regard would be appreciated. And so that is what that we then decided to leave in your capable hands to find whether there will be any acceptable formulation along those lines. But we don't have any draft formulation as that we can actually suggest to you. Okay.
By the way, what got the department to choose to delete by law, this prescription by law? Yes, Fanny?
Chairperson, if you look at clause 24, that gives the minister the power to make regulations. And we've inserted a definition of prescribed, so prescribed by regulation. So what we're saying is that it has powers and privileges as in the Constitution, and which additionally may be prescribed by regulation. So the minister will consult with the House and then prescribe additional privileges by regulation. That's what we're proposing. What is a prescribed by law? Then it's parliamentary law. To make it a very difficult and long drawn out. It's much easier on the departmental level.
All right.
That's correct. To clause 2 of clause 18,
yeah.
Where it says, subject to the rules and orders of the House, there must be freedom of speech and debate in the House and its committee. Is that sufficient, or would you like it stronger than that? So I'd just like to inquire the proposal.
Okay. Well, obviously, the NCOP didn't actually apply that man, but as I read it, I don't think there's a problem. Because it's exactly the principle of freedom of speech is entrenched in the Constitution.
Yes.
Does that mean then, through every confirmation, clause 18 as formulated is acceptable?
As amended.
As amended, as we proposed.
As we proposed,
yes.
Can I just ask you on this? So this doesn't fall short of immunity as it stands now. Or, I mean, it's no problem. It's no problem with the present formulation, but does it go far enough? That does this freedom of speech, or must the privilege be described that it is? That it is that you can't be prosecuted or held accountable to it.
Sorry, Chair. I had understood Ngozi Nyawo to be saying we need to beef it up to indicate that they are immune from prosecution for whatever they say when they are in chamber, in session.
Then on 19, Chair, the question of remission benefits of the members of the House, there was no comment. We did actually consider this clause, and again, we are comfortable with it. But there's one issue that we raise, is the question of the pensions for traditionally. You find that in terms of the act that we have passed, it was to be determined by the president. You see, perhaps it may be one of those issues that are being flagged for further consideration. But we felt then that we must just throw it to you, whether in view of the fact that there is that issue of pensions. I know it's a contentious issue among traditionalists themselves, whether there must be that question of age, which is still under consideration. And then on that basis, we then felt that we must just raise it with you and then advise us whether it may be part of this further consultation processes or what.
For my education,
doesn't remuneration include pension? No, not necessarily.
Yeah.
Yes, not.
Chair, I think maybe the mistake we made, the heading of that clause is remuneration and benefits.
Yeah.
And the pensions and medical aid would be part of benefits.
Okay.
Maybe what we should say is to say remuneration, comma, benefits and allowances. There's only remuneration and allowances there in the actual clause.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe we need to put in benefits there.
That's in the headline. Yes, yes.
I'm not sure whether I follow here. The pensions, the kings and queens go on pension, or we're only referring to the House, and assume that the members in the House who want to be kings and queens, who want to be chiefs.
Yeah, I think that's a correct understanding, because the member of the House, firstly, is a traditional leader before he becomes a member of the House. Now, if you only receive pension only by virtue of being a member of the House and not by virtue of being a traditional leader, it may be a problem, because you'll receive this pension allowance only for 5 years. When you go back to be an ordinary traditional leader, then you don't have any pension. So I think the view would be to say, if we provide for it here, then it must also be a general thing for all traditional leaders. I think that's been the request all along from the traditional leaders, to say as part of their benefit package, they must receive pension, all traditional leaders, now including members of houses. So I think that is the understanding we have.
I think just to make it clear that we, or this bill, can't deal with the remuneration and benefits of traditional leaders. All we can do, we can refer to these acts we deal with here. If we want to amend the dispensation of remuneration and benefits of traditional leaders, it must be done in terms of the Remuneration Act. Just to make that clear, Chair.
And the pension is in terms of that act.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, if that is the case, why did we say in the 2003 Act, that the president must determine the pension? Did we not say so?
Chairperson, I'm not sure. It's difficult for me to answer that question.
Okay.
Offhand. All right. As far as I can recall, it's dealt with in the Remuneration Act.
Okay. No, I think we are right there for that. You need to consider this matter as part of that overall process. But for now, we agree. Okay. Then 20, question of the rules and orders and of Committee of the House, we agree with that clause. The dissolution of the House, and we agree that there's no need. We agree with the department's comment there, and that there's no need for further amendment. Okay. Then, on clause 22, that is the oath and affirmation, we've considered this clause as well, but we've got a slight suggestion as regards the formulation. The trust of the clause is fine, but we are proposing that it should read that the chairperson, deputy chairperson, and all other members of the House must, before assuming office, take and subscribe to an oath or solemn affirmation in terms of set out in Schedule B before. That is where we want to start with the Chief Justice. Before the Chief Justice or any other judge of the High Court designated by him or her for this purpose. The formulation along those lines will be comfortable.
Sorry, Chief. We're just referring to, we have a proposal in the document we gave, which we actually, it's in line with the Constitution. It says Chief Justice or a judge designated by the Chief Justice. Can you just have a look if that's acceptable?
No worries.
But this is in line of the Constitution that all members of Parliament, the President, all ministers, exactly the same. But process and procedures prescribed for correct.
That the House or Treasury themselves should actually develop the conduct in its own, develop and adopt its own code of conduct. And the department's view is that the code of conduct attached to the bill is aligned to and considered with the code of conduct adopted and prescribed in terms of the Framework Act of Traditional Leaders Council and all traditional councils. And therefore, submission from the department is that there's no need for amendment. We then agree with the department in this regard, and that if need be, they may be regulated by regulations. But the point that we make is that, in fact, when the traditional leaders were consulted, and this was part of the bill, and therefore it was incumbent upon them if there is anything that is contained in those annexes that is offensive to them to bring to the attention of the department and to, before us, and they did nothing of that nature. But besides that, we did actually consider the draft itself. There's nothing really. I think it is a good, it may not be a finished product, but I think it is a step in the right direction. For that reason, we support the department. Regulation 24. That is regulations and clause 24. We agree. With the department, there's no need to provide for consultation with the provincial houses. The house and provincial department respond for traditional leadership. Sorry, let me start again, Chair, so that the minister must make regulation in consultation with the house. That was the input. And the minister has two wide powers in making regulation. And he may assume original law making, whatever. That is from Pumalanga and National House. And the department has accepted this comment and actually proposed a reform formulation. And we then have considered that clause 24 proposed by the department. And but started to them what they are going to say. We say we agree with it, except that before any regulation are made under this section, the minister must, I'm sure there is an error here, before, after A, consult the House. Then, subject to that, then we agree. Because it won't make sense if before any regulation are made under the section, the minister must the House. Then I'm sure that word consult was actually erroneously omitted. So that's fine. Then, on the question of Clause 25, which is the long title, then the department, the short title, sorry. The department on Clause 25 is really set out the laws that must be repealed and things like that. And I think we accept, not long title. It is Clause 25, yes. Repeal of laws, and then we agree with it. Because the short title, I think it is normal. We accept that as well. So, Chair, that is the position of the ANC as regards the national, the bill on the National House. Traditionally.
Allow the department, or to give the department food for thought. We also mentioned in passing, as we were stating, that the entire bill lacks some input from organizations, community organizations. If you look at clause 14, for an example, relationship between House and kings and queens. There are matters there that relate to service delivery, development of traditional communities. If the department can ponder in itself whether this bill is correct to be an own affair for traditional leaders, whilst they will be interacting and intermingling with communities that have organized themselves in certain instances. Just a food for thought for the department.
I'm tempted to say something, but let me allow money.
Sorry, just a technical issue. In clause 25, the last clause, that's repeal of laws, is this will have to affect a technical amendment, just a consequential amendment. Because we deal there also with the term is also linked to the term of local government. Mm. So we'll just,
okay.
It's just a technical amendment to bring it into line, just to say you're aware of that.
Chair, also, clause 3, there was a comment from the ANC to say that we must accommodate Gauteng and the Northern Cape as new provinces with traditional leaders. We made an attempt, knowing that circumstance, we made an attempt to say, for instance, where there are three or less, traditional leaders within a province, automatically they'll be part of the House. So it's already built in there. And also maybe by way of the new development, Northern Cape, they have decided to establish a provincial House. It was established about 3 or 4 weeks ago. So they do have members that were elected. They only now just have to send them to the National House, but the Provincial House is there. So it's only Gauteng who will have this automatic membership now. Yeah, thanks.
You are really inclusive.
But just on clause 25, if it's not, yes. Just the specific one now, please. I was just wondering also about that point. If we don't link it to the term of local government, when will their membership transpire? It's not for me only a technical matter, but the present people. This refers to the present people. So they will go on for 5 years. So after 5 years only, the new house will be elected. Okay, sorry. Chair, we haven't considered the preamble that should be included, so I can't say anything on that, and we'll just wait and see how it is formulated, then I'll deal with that. Then, on the long title, we don't have a big problem that powers be included. This is the way we speak about bodies, so we can go along with it, and also the definitions. We agree that it should be the speaker instead of the secretary, and that the speaker definition also be deleted as was proposed. On two, the establishment of the house, no problems. Clause 3, I believe that the case was now made for the headman to be elected, that there should be no discrimination. That was sort of our approach also, no discrimination if you can. So there will have to be a formulation in this regard. I see that it's only head man, so it should also be all head woman, which should come in then. Okay, but basically that's okay. Yeah. Women also there. Them on their own game, non-sexist. yes, no. Then on 4, we don't have a problem. Then no need for for amendments there. Qualifications 5 is okay. 6 is okay. 7 is also okay. Yes, then 8, on 8, yay, great minds think alike. That was exactly what we felt about the quorum, that, I was actually thinking, even if you don't have a quorum of 51, if there's a difficult matter and it needs two-thirds, the people that will be against it will make sure that they are there, you know, so... We even thought that a quorum won't be that necessary. If you make it a two-thirds decision majority, you force the people to be there. But that wording is the best. We must at least have a good quorum for decisions.
Chairperson, is that an indication that we're drifting towards one-party state?
No, I can't see how you can detect that.
A colleague of mine used to say when someone... speaks like Dormant, says great man thinks like this.
Of course, yes.
Only fools don't differ.
Yes. Yeah, that's also true, unfortunately. Yeah, then the proposal on 9-1 from the ANC sounds reasonable. I don't have a problem with that. There was a new proposal there. On 10... I just wrote here redraft, so we're okay there. Then just on 11, it wasn't clear to me, so the amendment to clause 11 that the department proposed, that this is accepted. Yeah. is accepted.
Good, good, good. That will be good. Then 12 and 13, there's no problems. Then 14, I'll also be milling over it. Yeah, NC said that they'll be milling over that one. So we'll wait for the for the comments. Then we can look at that. 15 is no problem. 16 is no problem. 17 is no problem. 18, we said that immunity must be granted. So we will have a stronger formulation there. 19 is okay. 20. I wanted to propose that the B be section 2B, 2A and B, the twos, the second should be scrapped. Because the approach is just, we say, we allow them to make their own rules and regulations and so on, but then we say in 22 there must be a standing executive committee. I just felt that a bit illogical, or if I don't understand that. Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, we say we trust you. You can structure your like you want to, and then then we say no, but there must be a standing executive committee. But if there's a good reason for that, normally there will be something like that with any house to deal with matters on an urgent basis and so on. But under the house wanted it to be scrapped. They made out a argument here. As I'm saying now, why be prescriptive here? So that might be something I just need an answer on.
For your chair. Yeah, can I, as you are going to consider reformulation, I just want to throw that the reason why there were six in the executive was because at that time, we had six regions, provinces, with traditional leaders. Just wonder when the department is applying their mind, consider this issue of Gauteng and Northern Cape now coming into the equation, because we don't want any province not represented in the executive committee. I'm not quarreling with the suggestion that we may not be a prescription. It just must be permissive within that.
Sorry, Chair, it's suggested to say maybe instead of a must, it should be a may.
We don't have a problem about that, but the question of the number is the problem in terms of the latest presentation. Because the six,
I do understand.
Yeah. Well, Chair, there must be a framework for a tradition without that thing, because I think this thing has got a bearing also as to how many members must be full-time, must be considered by the president to be full-time. So if there is that direction there in that regard, it may be fine.
That will be May,
yeah.
But from my point then also we shouldn't prescribe how many members, that should also be left to them, that there may be a standing committee consisting of as many members as the House decides. You know. Okay, so that. Then the 21-22, we've changed now. It's no problems there. 23 and 24, it's also okay. And we've dealt with 25. Just one last thing from our side is the costing of the changes. Now, at the end of the bill, the department says that it's already been budgeted for, and this budget will have to be increased. Now, I think there is a strong tendency these days in Parliament that any committee that is making laws must look at the financial implications for the fiscus. And we just strongly feel that this is not good enough just to say acquire a bigger budget. We feel there must be some figures here. At least tell us, well, at the moment the budget is this. This is the possible changes, which could mean so many rands for the first financial year, that we have some sort of a sense for the fiscus about the financial implications. Thank you, Chair.
I didn't really find problems, except maybe I also need for my clarity on number 17, clause 17, accountability of the House. Just need a clarity as to accountability. To whom are they accountable? Is it to themselves? Or are they following their own code of conduct? I just need some explanation on that one. I didn't quite follow it. And then on number 19, I was represented when I heard that the deductions, remuneration goes with deductions for pension purposes. There I was represented. I think that's about all where I was really having some queries. Thank you.
Sorry, Chair, for the record, the last honourable member represents which party?
I
think so. Chair.
NP plus.
Okay.
We
believe that 17 is clear to indicate that the House is accountable to Parliament. If you read 17, 1 and 2, it makes a specific reference. Firstly, for the House to submit an annual report to Parliament, giving an account of its activities and programs, and also to say Parliament can summon the House at any time when it's necessary to discuss matters of interest to Parliament.
We're now dealing with the governance framework amendment bill. Let Honorable Gogoja, you are disrupting my meeting, sir. That door closes and opens. You may have to use it. So let's start. And in the same order, I guess, but or in any order of views. Chair and honourable members. I think from the ANC we'll start again. And, Chair,
for the reasons articulated by the department yesterday on the question of the desirability of the bill, we are convinced that it is necessary. So we really agree. But as regards then the comments that we're making, we start with the long title. That is fine. And then the question of the amendment of Section 1 of Act Number 41 of 2003, which I think is a consequential amendment to provide for another rung of traditional leadership, that is the kingship. Again, in principle, we agree. But we would opt that it should be gender sensitive, in the sense that it's a kingship and queenship, bearing in mind situation in the country. But the formulation is fine. It's just that there must be a consequential so that it is gender sensitive. That's our comment there. And then, for instance, on the question of the definitions, there has been a comment about the statement of the chief senior traditional leadership represent problems. Some people were consulted, and of course, there's been a contentious issue of the question of headman or headwoman, is it? Yes. precisely for the reasons articulated by the department yesterday again in response to this submission, and in view of the fact that, of course, there is a review of some policy formulation, we're of the view, we agree with the department that to really change and replace headmanship has got an implication on the white paper and all the laws. And for now, I think we must live with the formulation. And sensitive, of course, that traditional leaders would like to be called Ramos, is it? that some of them must be sensitive to that. So then, the clause two is referred to the new formulation: kingship, traditional communities, kingship councils, and traditional councils. Again, question of gender sensitivity is all there, which is minor consequential. There being no comment, we have no problem with it. And clause three, the question of the recognition of kingships, of course, question of queenship as well there. Fine, as long as we're gender sensitive there, it's fine. But let's go then to clause 2A F, which was the contention. For instance, there's been a suggestion of the National House that they need to take out paragraph 2A F. Some old kingdoms abolished by colonists and abandoned men, and Section 28 does not deal with the institution of paramount chiefs and things like that. And then the comment from the department is that amend paragraph 21AF to read to have a system of traditional leadership and at a kingship level. In our submission, it would be sort of a queenship or top king queenship level, and take out words recognized by other traditional communities. In principle, we agree with that. But we will be happy with a formulation like this. I'll start with 2A at the top. A number of traditional communities that are grouped together may be recognized as a kingship if they, I go to F, have a system of traditional leadership at a kingship, queenship level, full stop. Delete everything that comes thereafter. We feel that it will be keen. And again, we noted that clause 2A4, with the term of kingship, take it the consequential amendment right away, but under C, they're seeking a progressive to advance gender representation in succession of traditional leadership and poor courtroom. That is fine, and I think it's sensitive. I think it is taking on board the, what we stand for and what I think the Clare Foundation also say in our support in this submission. Then, clause 4. I will agree then with the submission of that there is no need for further amendments, except those that I've referred to. We are convinced about the reasons that passed by the department. On clause 4, that is the question of the ex officio, and I think it was explained yesterday, and we agree that ex officio does not mean that that person has no right to vote, as it was mooted in the olden days when the traditional leaders were members of the municipal councils. It is by virtue of being traditional leaders that they are members, and nothing more and nothing less. So we agree with the formulation and with the department that there is no need for an amendment in this regard. And then, of course, the question of sub-traditional councils to be replaced with traditional sub-councils, I think that is good, and it is supported. Clause 5. On clause 5, 3A2, question of the kingship council must consist of not more than 30 members. I think this is one of the contentious issues that has been raised. And the ANC, we will be happy with a formulation that is sort of inclusive of all the key traditional communities within or under that council, being member of that council. And that we must restrict them to 30 at this stage, we are not convinced that we must agree. Nor is there any evidence that we must disagree. And then we are of the view, therefore, consequently, that this is a matter that the department must actually give us further research to consider this principle and come back to us. In other words, we propose to mull over it, as it were. But request the department to come up with some other formulation, one or two options, so that we can look into. But on our own, we're going to also do further research to find out whether we could not actually come up with any other acceptable formulation in this regard. that is clause 5. Submission of what? Yes. Yes. Let me. Is it not three? Yes. Before that, chair, there's another one. Yeah. There's that also 3A, 3, chair, line 41. the term of office of members of the kingship council is 5 years and is aligned to the term of office of local government, including king, things like that. Then, again, we were sensitive that that question of the queens of king's council being at a local government level, being at a provincial level as well, if we would see it, we would like to mull over it. And then consider that matter and come up whether there may be any better formulation around the objection about this alignment with politics. But in principle, we could say, in line with the cooperative governance and trends in the constitution, it is reasonable that any structure at the local government level must be aligned. We would have no problem with that in principle. But be sensitive to the objection of traditional leaders and come up with any other formulation, because these traditional, these Queen's Councils, no longer be, as we understand it, only operated at local government level, for the provincial element as well. Because I think the trend that we see is that our kings and queens will not be members of these local or provincial houses. And then come to the question of 50. Again, subsection 3, the question of the quorum of the kingship council is the majority of the total number of the kingship council. Yeah, I think that is 50 plus 1. If that is the understanding, then there's no problem. That is it. Clause 5. Kingship Court, Kingship Council. Sorry, Chairperson, on the next page, on the African. Yes, exactly. Yes. That is line. 7, 8, line 9. For instance, there's reference that is dealing with clause 10, a number of kingship council vacates his or her seat if, for instance, he or she becomes impaired to the extent that he or is unable to carry out his or her duties as a member of the traditional council. Right? We are dealing now with the Queen Council. Or Queen Council. Now, the view is that we need to ask you a question around that. Because the members of the Queen's Council, are not going to be members of the traditional councils per se. It may be somebody because of the 30% gender sensitivity thing as well. And are you correct, therefore, to restrict it to traditional council? Can it be traditional council or Queen's Council, whichever, or whatever? But we had a question there for clarity.
Sorry, Chairman. I'd just like to refer to the proposed amendment by the department, the document we handed out yesterday. The certain amendments are proposed, if you look at the second one, clause 5. It's an amendment proposed by the Commission on Leadership Chairperson, if you look at the proposals, first of all, as far as subclause 3 is concerned, this deals with the term of office. The department has proposed a reformulation which says the term of a kingship council shall be 5 years, but that it must be aligned with the term of the National House. That's the department's proposal to deal with that.
Yeah, it's there.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
It's called 5.
Called 5.
Three. All right. And then as far as the issue raised on paragraph D, which deals with additional councils, there we propose that the word additional be substituted with kingship. So it should read kingship council, not additional council. That was a omission. Oh, yes. That will be taken into account. Yes, Chair.
Let's just go back on your clause 5. As I indicated when I was reporting, bearing in mind that it is not the council that will be a member of a queen or king forum at a national. It is an individual. Why do you align it with the National House as a structure? Because this is a structure, not an individual. Because in our view was that we must consider aligning, we could align it with either the local and the provincial, because that's where they are going to operate these councils.
Chair, the other omission we we've subsequently identified is also to put here specifically that there has to be partnerships. Established between the kingship or queenship council and especially the local municipalities at this level, so the district municipalities because we have the same sort of clause for traditional councils, so we need to have the same clause here for kingship or kinship councils as well. So we're going to build that in.
The other one that we would like to mull over it, which in principle it sounds, is the exclusion who becomes a member of municipal council, that is F, that's line 31. A person may not be appointed as a member of the kingship or queenship council if the person is or become a full member of the municipal council and is elected to a member of provincial legislature and is elected to be a member of the National Assembly. And you may find that, there's been a strong, actually, submission from the KZN House of Traditional Leaders around this issue, and that we feel that this matter, also there is also exclusion, of the member who is a full-time traditional leader in the House. Also, all those things perhaps we would like to really think deeply about it. At this stage, we are not convinced to go this or the other way. And it's really a contentious issue that perhaps you may advise us. Again, we must not be prescriptive in terms of, because there's a provincial element here, it's a concurrent jurisdiction. Perhaps if we are saying as a national, it must not be. It might be attacked, we might be attacked and then said, well, we're now usurping the concurrent power of provinces or something like that. But as the caucus, we couldn't come on a firm position on, in this regard, and therefore we then resolved to mull over it. Okay. Then, I think those consequential amendments, we have no problem with them that we are proposing. I think they are fine. And then I've got three documents I'm reading at the same time. Clause 7, the support of the traditional council and kingship and queenship councils, there's a consequential amendment. Subject to those consequential amendments, we don't have a problem. And the 8, amending section 17 of the Principal Act, that a local house must be established in accordance with the provision of the area to the shop, the municipality or metropolitan municipality where more or one traditional council exists in that district or a metropolitan council, that type of thing. That is fine. But the other issue that the department must need to consider is this question of the traditional councils within the urban setup. Of course, like Gaudeng, I think they are established there. And no doubt in Northern Cape as well. I think they are established. But on Cape Town and other urban areas, I think it must be flagged as an issue for further discussion in the White Bill, because there is a strong sense that these people in urban areas, they need some traditional structures to deal with traditional issues. But it's a contentious issue that needs really debate and full and further consultation.
And it should be real traditional leaders.
Yeah.
not Father Galo.
Yes. So, but the formulation, yes, I think for now it's fine. We'll live with it. And 9, the regulatory powers, there's no problem. 11, no problem. 12, remuneration of public office bearers, as we have already discussed. That's I think that is fine. 13, question of benefits that we refer to again, subject to that comment, it is fine again. 14, salaries, allowance, benefits of traditional leaders and non-traditional leaders and traditional council members, that's fine. What is it? 14, yes. And then 15 is really amending the remuneration of public office bearers, that's fine. As well as, of course, the remuneration of public office bearers as well. These are really consequential amendments that are there. But as regards then the question of that department, the formation of that department, our view is that as the president announced, and then the department must actually, as promised, to us yesterday, accelerate that process so that there's clarity sooner rather than later. But for now, we are happy with the formulation. Thank you.
Chair, the honourable member's cell phone is ringing all the time. He must just check whether it's not the king leaving him in new instructions.
Chair, that was short and sweet. I have no problems if we stick to the amendments as the department has prepared. We sort of strongly felt just about one issue, and that is the question of the municipal council, that a member can't be, person can't be a member of both. That is, I would think, a constitutional matter, and it is actually a clash of interest. And it also comes down to remuneration, which comes in question here. So we feel that we must stick to the change that the department has proposed on that, on clause 5. And with the rest, I don't have a problem. I just want to ask now for clarity. You've just also referred to it just now. Are they going to try and change all the, or insert all everywhere queenship where there's kingships? What is the, because we make some changes to existing legislation, and other parts of that legislation will be the same. What is the decision here? How are we going to deal with that? Is it consequential?
Yeah.
Everywhere. Okay. Thank you, Chair.
On page 4, clause 3A, number 8, line 55, about the kingship council meeting every 2 months, and then saying in a special meeting it should be in consultation with the premier. I find that a bit odd. To call a special meeting of the kingship council as he may consider necessary. Are we saying they can't meet on their own? It can't happen.
Thank you, Chairperson. No, I think the provision is that at least the King's Council must meet every 2 months, and if there is a need for them to meet, they must just consult with the Premier in that regard.
The Premier must be there, okay.
Yeah, for more meetings. So it means it's 6 meetings per annum for the King's Council, and then there is that provision also for if there is a need to have further meetings, they must discuss it with the Premier.
Mm-hmm.
It is tied to that. It is also tied to the issue of really there must be a tangible need. Nobody would like to see, as happened elsewhere, an excuse being created that we have this meeting without any tangible thing. No substance, a substantial reason for the meeting to take place.
But I think also, Chair, there are two possibilities. You may have a structure that doesn't have meetings at all. I mean, there are houses which only meet maybe once a year or two times a year. And here we're saying at least in 2 months, you must meet at least once. So we're also trying to build in the question of now the functionality of this council, besides just limiting it. I mean, they may have a plan to say, we're going to have so many special meetings, and that gets approved by the Premier, because there'll be cost implications to that. So it's not really a limiting sort of factor. They may still have many meetings, maybe 3 meetings in 2 months, depending on the need. So, but I agree. I mean, this commission by the Premier, other people may really not like it. But luckily, we don't have any comments from the general public against this. So I think maybe they might accept it.
There was also a promise that the commission on disputes, the double commission, may come to us next week because. Yes, because if there are any other further amendments that we could propose, the regular that of our interaction with them,
okay,
we'll be able to do it.
Members, I know that there are other members who are. Do you know whether you can find the different venue? Thank you very much. We appreciate your time with you again.